Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Now, I've got a few things on my heart for this evening, and I realized, busy preparing with this, that we're probably going to have to come back to this early in the new year, so maybe we'll have part two next year. But in any case, we'll see how far we get. So in terms of us and how we, as we just prayed now, how we are co-workers with Christ and how we are co-laborers with Him, I just want to touch on a few things just practically. And I want us to think specifically in terms of now, not only when we're going to be able to spend some time with family, but also what I also want to encourage you to do is, with what we're going to be speaking about tonight, to take some time out this, hopefully when you have a time of rest, to pray, seek God about next year, pray about stuff God is what is God laying on your heart for next year? What are faith goals that He's challenging you with? Growth goals. You know, we realize that one of our biggest purposes in life is to become more like Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And we're like, yo, that's cool, it's a cool idea, and we carry on like normal. Did you know that if for you and I to become like Jesus, a lot has to change? I don't know about you, but on my side, if I want to be like Christ, there's a lot that has to change. And the problem with change is it doesn't happen on its own. Yes, there's some change that happens on its own, but that's normally not the good kind, right? And for us to have positive change and godly change in our lives, we're going to actually have to be deliberate about it. So, couple of things I want to look at this evening, but let's pray as we get into the Word. Father, we thank You for this absolute privilege, God, to dig into Your Word this evening. Thank You that Your Word is alive and powerful. Holy Spirit, we welcome You as our teacher. Lord, we humble ourselves before You, God, and we ask, Lord, that You would come even tonight, even in Your presence now, even as we dig into Your Word, that You would change us, Lord, that You would transform us, that You would mold us and make us more like Christ, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, we take authority now, every distraction in Jesus' name. We cast off every other thing, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We bind You now in Jesus' name. And we thank You this evening for a liberty in Your presence. And we thank You, Lord, for anointing that destroys yokes, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I just want to quickly, it's the end of the year almost, and we got a couple of services left, but I just actually want to very briefly remind us of what is the vision that God has given us as a body. Vision that God has given us is to make, I actually didn't put the vision on there, I just put the values on there, but the vision is to reach nations and generations, hopefully you know this, through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. Okay, so I don't want to take too much time with this, we'll probably spend some time again with it at the beginning of the year, but I want to encourage you to make this, if you feel that this is your home spiritually, if you feel that God has called you to be part of this spiritual family, then I want to really encourage you to take these to heart. This is not just a good idea. In fact, this is very much the Great Commission, which we're going to look at in a moment. But we believe that God has given us a passion for Jesus, people to serve, power of belief, and a purpose to pursue, and that those are our core values that define who we are and how we serve Him. And these are very much not foreign, very much scriptural. But go and pray around this. Go and cement this in your heart, because being part of this family means that God has has put this on our heart. Amen. But let's go on. Let's look at the. Maybe just go two back. Let me show you the big picture, yeah? Okay, so we got the kingdom of darkness, just for argument's sake, on the left there, and the kingdom of God on the right. And you can see there's a big hill there, and there's a massive gap there, a massive chasm there. And in terms of our relationship with others, and in terms of our walk with God, we start off with in life far from God. Okay, each of us are born in sin. There's a divide between us and God because of our sinful nature. There's some things, this big chasm that you and I cannot overcome. We can't cross that on our own. So that's why we have Christ. But in terms of us dealing with others out there, in terms of us reaching out, whether it be family, whether it be your colleagues, etc., basically what we're trusting for is to see somebody come from darkness into His glorious light. I mean, His marvelous light. And many of us here, we can testify of His goodness and His grace and how that has happened in our own lives. But when we are engaging with the world around us, whether it be people that we are reaching out to, whether it be transformation that we're praying for in our workplace or in our nation, this is what we're trusting for. We're trusting for a transformation from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We're trusting for the kingdom of God to advance in somebody's life, in our city, in our nation. Are you with me? And so just very, very briefly and very basically, there's a few things that we look at there. So the kingdom of darkness, very basically in terms of a person, there's no relationship with God, and there's a reality of eternal death. All right, so this is not the good news, but this is the truth, that hell is real, and there is an eternity without God that we wouldn't wish on anybody, all right? And when you hear Reinhard Bonnke, great German evangelist, when you hear him speak about evangelism, he speaks about seeing hell empty and heaven full. Seeing plundering hell to populate heaven. And it's a very powerful visual that he uses to actually, and there's a part of scripture where Jesus says, when he asked the guys, who do you say that I am? And Peter gets the revelation. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, on this revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And again, there's that picture of, and that's the one that Reinhard Bonnke uses, is going to the gates of hell and plundering hell, and taking people from there and into heaven. And it's such a vivid picture, because that's the reality, is that we start off in eternity, in eternal perspective. We start off there. If we stay as we are when we are born, our destination is hell. Are you with me? Because we are born in sin. But he says the gates of hell will not prevail. So he says we will plunder hell and we will populate heaven. Hallelujah. So let's go on. So on the other side, we have the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. We have eternal life in relationship with God, in relationship with His word, in relationship with His people. This is where we're trusting God for somebody to get to. When we start walking a road with somebody that is in the kingdom of darkness, this is where we want them to end up. In relationship with God, an assurance of salvation, relationship with the Word of God, relationship with the people of God in terms of in fellowship, in terms of in a local church. And then I've put this thing as self-feeder. This might sound weird, but if you think in a context of discipleship, this is where you want to get to. Now, maybe this is for some of us here this evening as well. We start off, when we become born again, we start off very reliant upon the input we receive around us spiritually. And that's just, it has to be like that. When we are born again, we are like spiritual babies. And as I can testify with, our little one, Emily, she's one now. She thinks She can take over the world because she can walk now. And she goes all over the place, and it's really next level in terms of just keeping an eye on her now. Especially because there are two other ones that are also like running around, you know. So now, well, we are outnumbered. But in any case, the Lord is with us. But she thinks she's big now because she can walk, but she's very much dependent upon others, upon us. Amen. In a similar way, when we are born again, there's a dependence upon others in terms of growth, in terms of discipleship, in terms of teaching, which is good and which is it should be like that. But what we're trusting for is for somebody quite early on in their walk with God to come to a point where they are able to feed from the Word themselves, are able to engage with God in prayer, are able to walk in a relationship with the Holy Spirit to a point where you and I are not dependent upon those events at church for our personal growth. Those events just add to that. Church, small group, all that. But there's a place where you and I can engage God in our own time, in our quiet time. And that is the main place where we grow and where we are fed, is in our time in His presence. But that takes a while, but that's where we want to get to. Okay, so maybe that's a challenge for somebody this evening. I know the first time, having been saved in a context where I was a student at a university in Stellenbosch, and we had church like every day, basically. There was Monday, there was something going on. Tuesdays, there was Bible school. Wednesdays, there was small groups. Thursdays, you know, there was almost everything. Fridays, prayer. It was just the whole time there was incredible opportunity to receive the Word, to be challenged, to grow, to experience the presence of God. And when I left that environment for the first time for a while, when I went overseas to work for a while, way back, I found that I had to really now recognize, wow, I cannot depend on stuff like that for my relationship with God to flourish. I have to come to a point of maturity where I can receive from God, where I can grow in the Scripture, where I can dig in and grow and hear from God and get revelation from Him. And you know what? That is precious. Because now this second-hand revelation is blessed, but there's nothing that compares to going into the presence of God and hearing His heart and receiving a revelation from God that is for you for now. And your life has changed. Are you with me? Can you say amen? I'll just grab some water. Okay. So we want to somebody, want our disciples, people that we are discipling, to become self-feeders and to become disciple makers. I truly believe that it is, unless you and I are making disciples, we are not truly disciples ourselves yet. So part of being a disciple of Christ is making disciples. Okay. All right, so we have to probably... Yeah, let's go on. All right, so why? Let's go. Let's see why we... Basically, our vision and our values all come from the Great Commission we see in Matthew 28, which I'm just briefly going to read. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Before we spoke about the authority that we've been given, Jesus specifically says He's been given all authority. And because of that authority, He now sends us, which basically means He delegates authority to us. And then the promise at the end there of Him being with us as we go, as we heed the call, as we heed the Great Commission to go into all the nations. Okay, so that is our vision. That is basically what we've just worded it differently, but that's what it's all about. let's look at the next one, Matthew 25. From verse 34, "And then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry,
and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You know, when he said this, the guys actually said to him, but we can't remember that. When were we even in that situation? Then he says, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. And it's a massive part of our commission and our mandate is not only to preach the gospel, but for the gospel to become real practical. And that's actually something that's on my heart for some of our missions for next year, is that we really trust God to look at the immediate needs around us, in our communities, in our city, sometimes very practical needs, sometimes needs that we maybe can't solve all of it in one day at once, but some of them we can take hands with the local community and we can say, okay, how can we serve the people that God has put around us with the love of Jesus, not only in terms of preaching the gospel, but also in terms of meeting practical needs. Okay. All right. In terms of our hearts, I just want to mention this. If you're going to be spending time with family over the next while, I don't know about you, but oftentimes the people closest to us are the most challenging harvest field. Are you with me? Do you agree? And it's funny, you know, I remember specifically when living far from family and not seeing them very often, then you're like psyching yourself up, you're trusting God for massive change, and you're trusting God for many things, and then inevitably you find yourself in a situation where everything but the character of God comes out, you know, and you're like, oh, you know, how is this possible, you know, I've been really trusting and, you know, want to preach the gospel to my family. In fact, I remember when I was just saved, I was about 12. And I preached at my poor parents. So I prayed for healing and all kinds of things. And praise God, he's got grace for us. I made every mistake in the book. In any case, So unfortunately, there's this thing, specifically the people that are closest to us, often that's where we find it the most challenging to really be salt and light and to really be his hands and feet. And I want to really encourage us that as we pray about next year and as we spend time with family now over the next weeks, that we would trust God to see his heart for the people around us, whether it be our family or neighbors or colleagues, to really experience his heart. So I want to read from Matthew 9 for a moment. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field. And then John 3:16-17 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And it's so important for us to engage the heart of God with about our family, about the people close to us, about our colleagues, about our neighbors, because it's impossible to reach them without his perspective, guys. I remember being a zealous Christian at varsity in the courses, you know, in the residence, but being so sin focused. Preaching at guys about their whatever their issues were, whatever their sins were, instead of preaching the love of God, instead of asking God, what are you doing in this person's life? And I want to really encourage us to look at when we see the multitudes, we ask, Lord, that you would move us with compassion. That you would show us what's on your heart for these people, for my family. Show us what's on your heart for my neighbor, for my colleague. Show me what you are already doing, because God has not sent Jesus to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. So it's not for us to go and condemn and bring condemnation and conviction. That it's for us to convey and to communicate and to express the love of God for the world. Are you with me this evening? Okay. Now, when we get to the chasm, the gap there, and you'll find, it's interesting, in the UK, I suppose this was a bit more visible than it is here. And in Pretoria, I found it's actually amazing to see how open people still are for the word, for the gospel, for what God is doing. It's really a blessing and something that we should really embrace while it's still like that. But the reality of the society around us and the Western society we're living in is that it's increasingly coming to a point where you can't assume that somebody has a certain understanding of the scripture or of who God is anymore. You can't make that assumption. I think many of you might even experience this, that where before, if you start chatting with somebody about church, about God, there will be some background or some understanding of what you're talking about. But now, some of you might have already experienced that there may be some places or some people that you might encounter with that don't have any background of Christianity. They don't have not much knowledge at all, or not much, you know, kind of understanding of the scripture or of the concept of God even. So it's more and more important for us to say, okay, Lord, I could just ask my colleague, hey, do you want to come to church with me? And my colleague would know what church is, know probably the God that I worship at church, probably have a clue about that as well, and would be able to. But you know, as we experience in the UK, there is a place where now you ask somebody to come to church and say, what is it about? What do you do there? And more and more you find a place where instead of that one invitation from somebody out there to come directly to church, it becomes more and more necessary for us to create bridges and contact points and in-between steps before somebody will come to church with us, or even to small group with us. Are you with me this evening? So you find somebody, and obviously there's still people out there that you can just invite to church and keep on doing that. Amen. But if you encounter somebody that you feel, okay, now this guy is not ready to actually come to church with me on Sunday, you and I need to start thinking, what is the in-between step for my friend that I know from my running club or from my workplace? What is the Is there in-between step or steps that I need to trust God for to take this guy's hand and say, okay, but why don't you join me here or here before we get to a point where we actually come to church? Are you kind of with me still this evening? Hang in there. So there's a gap now, right? There's a massive gap. And we need to see how can we position ourselves, or how are we already positioned where we can be a part of that contact point, or where we can be a part of that in-between step between somebody coming from a complete darkness and coming to a place where they can actually hear the gospel, where they actually can receive the word and have an opportunity to respond. Okay, so let's have a look quickly at a few practical things there. You go one closer. All right, so often we think about reaching out to our family and our neighbors and stuff, and I don't know about you, but I suppose you guys are still not so tense, but even with the young, you know, just starting to work, there's so much out there that is demanding our time, and it often feels to us, but how can I still go and evangelize? How do I fit that in? And we think, you know, I have to take time out in the week, schedule time, and this is my evangelism time. And we like between 2 and 4 on a Thursday morning. Yeah. Okay. anyway, so you know, so we think, should I schedule this in? How can I make this part of my week? But I want to really challenge us with is that I believe that God calls us to look at where we are already. And who are the people that are already around us? Who are the people that we already have a relationship with? Who are the people that we already spend time with? And I'll tell you what, that's probably where you're going to be the most able and have the most opportunities to be salt and light. Okay, so we look thinking about stuff that you're already busy with. Sport and hobbies and work and family and neighbors and stuff that doesn't require of us to set. Yes, obviously that's great if you want to set aside time to evangelize. I'm all for that. But think of the people that are already around you. If you belong to a sports club, or if you have a running club or something, or a quilting club, I don't know what's out there these days. But if there's a place where you socially interact with people that don't know Christ, praise God, you've got opportunity to be salt and light. So that's where we start. Obviously, we all have to live somewhere. So there's people around us where we live. There's people around us where we are during the week, whether it be colleagues or classmates or wherever you find yourself. And I want to really encourage us, even in this time of rest, in your time of prayer, won't you take a couple of sessions or maybe a bit of time and say, Lord, who is it? Who are the people that are already in my vicinity, that are already close to me in terms of accessible? Who are those people that are ready or that I can engage, that I can pray for? And that is the key starting point, is to pray. Amen? Because it's in prayer that we actually encounter and really hear the heart of God for the person. I was so blessed with my friend, Kobus Pieterse. He has shared a testimony this morning at Shofar Johannesburg. And actually, I just want to, unfortunately, he can't be here to share it, so I'm going to repeat it. You know Christy Pieterse that worked here? His older brother, all right? And he shared that when he was born again at university, he faced this challenge. His family was going through a massive trauma. His parents were in the middle of a crazy divorce. His sister was going through a hectic time. I think she actually attempted suicide. His little brother, which is Christy at that stage, was also taking some speed wobbles, you know. And he was wrestling with God, having just been saved, being in residence, going back home for the holidays, praying, wrestling with God, you know, what should he do? How can he bring the gospel to his family that is going through this absolutely hectic time? As a, you know, obviously as a newly saved believer, wrestling with God, praying, ready to go in there and preach the gospel and do whatever it takes. And he shared this morning, he said that when he was praying about this, the Lord said very clearly to him, he said to him, all you're going to do is pray and wash the dishes. And he was like, what? Well, you know, but it's such a powerful thing, because what he did then, it was just basically praying and serving. So if you're wrestling with that same thing, if you're going back to a challenging family environment, or if you're going to spend time with family that you find challenging spiritually, start with praying and serving. And he shared how he was very obedient, and he was praying a lot, and he was washing the dishes a lot, but nothing was happening, and he was getting a little bit frustrated, and what's going on, and really kind of, God, is something going to happen? Because he had a great expectation, and this obviously was a difficult time for his family. And he said it was so amazing, because the Lord just put it all together, but because of his obedience in prayer and serving, the Lord created opportunities for him to minister to his brother. And there was a moment where he realized they were alone, and there was Christy was open to hear, and he felt the Lord saying now, and Christy that's where he was saved, that's where he responded to the word. And not long after that, one Sunday morning, he was on his way to church, still with his family on holiday, and his mom said, "Where are you going?" And then she said she wants to go with him. And that day, she got born again. She was spiritual. And I was so blessed by his testimony, because often we go in there, guns blazing, you know, we throw the word at the poor family, we pray for the food, and we pray for everything, you know, we just grab everything that looks like half a gap to say something about Jesus or to testify, which is obviously great, but I want to really encourage us to really trust to hear the voice of the Spirit. To pray for our families, to love them and serve them, and then to be ready that when the opportunity comes, that we will hear and that we are able to respond. Amen. So I want to encourage you to start with prayer. Pray for those around you. Pray for your colleagues. Take time out in this holiday time to pray. Say, "Lord, who are the people that you want me to walk a road with next year?" Even if you start with one, to pray into that. Pray for them diligently. Trust God for God to open their hearts, for you to recognize needs that you can pray for, challenges that they might be working through, ways that you can minister to them in prayer. And then, I believe God will start giving you open doors. Are you with me? Similar life phase I've put here as well. So it's difficult to reach out to people that are on the other spectrum of, on a completely different life phase. Okay, obviously, all of these things that I've listed here are contact points, places where there's a common ground, there's a common interest, there's something that's the same, something that makes it easy for you to engage somebody. I found having children is a great evangelism tool. Just throwing that out there. Obviously, just get married first, okay? But babies are like the best evangelism tools. In the UK specifically, nobody will ever talk to you on the street. Like, it doesn't really happen. You don't talk to strangers unless you have a baby. It's the weirdest thing. Eh? Those Brits just warm up when there's a cute baby around. You know, they come up to you, they strike up a conversation, they ask about the baby, and then praise the Lord. It will never happen any other time. Praise God. In any case, okay, so let's go on. I've got a few points here from, go on to the next one, from a book by Bill Hybels, which I can really recommend. It's called Just Walk Across the Room. Hopefully we can look at it in small groups next year. We'll see if we get around to that. But if you want to have good reading material for the holiday, that's a good one. Just Walk Across the Room, Bill Hybels. Okay, got it. All right, so he says, develop friendships by engaging people around you, as we've been saying. But he says, in terms of being deliberate about it, praying about it. So if you're praying about who should you engage, and the Lord gives you somebody that you don't get along with, it's probably going to happen. Don't think, "Oh no, I've obviously missed God now." And this is the challenging part about reaching out. It's often somebody that you don't naturally get along with, maybe, and that you actually have to deliberately pursue friendship with. Okay, develop friendship, engaging people, discover their stories before you tell your story and God's story of redemption. In other words, listen first. Guys, I can tell you from many years of reaching out to people that I know and people that I don't know, if you take the time to listen to somebody, if you take the time to open your heart and to really hear somebody out, hear where they're at, hear what's on their heart, guess what? Their heart's open. Because people have a need for somebody that cares and that wants to know and that really cares enough for them to listen to them and then follow up with, "How's that going?" or "I've been praying for you for that." Hearts soften and hearts open because that's the love of Christ. Because it goes beyond my thing. The biggest thing if you look at conversations these days, people want to talk about themselves. And it's just wrong for us as Christians to also do that. Just talk about myself all day, and then the Christ-like character comes through when I choose to listen first and say, "Let me get an understanding of who this person is, and let me see how I can pray for them. So first, listen to their story before you get to a point where you can actually testify of your of what God has done in your life. Are you with me? And then discern next steps. So these are the three D's. Discern next steps by following the direction of the Holy Spirit. And I want to reiterate this, and I've mentioned this before. I can't spend too much time on this. Like I said, well, I might have to do a part two. But that's the most important thing in our outreach, is to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, to learn to hear His voice, to learn to hear in terms of opportunity, in terms of prayer, in terms of what is God doing in that person's life. Amen? Okay, so next steps, just practically, I'm rushing through some of these. We'll get back to them next year as well. Invitations, guys. This is easy stuff, right? Inviting people to come into our space, inviting people to things that was already happening, social events, basics, just allowing people opportunity to come into our space, especially if it's church, people going to be there, if it's a church birthday or some event or a braai or something happening. It doesn't have to be deeply spiritual, but just invite somebody into that space. It's incredible what the Holy Spirit does when people can see the love that we have between one another. I mean, that's what the scripture talks about. And then I spoke about sitting down with someone. That means, you know, we often talk about, have you heard this phrase in Christianese? It's a specific language that we speak. Christianese, yes. We talk about walking a road with somebody. Yes, have you heard that? And your self-facilitator says, yes, John, will you please walk a road with this guy, this follow-up? And you're like, yeah, sure. And you don't have a clue what he's talking about. You know, what does it mean? Do we go for a walk every morning? What do we do? How do we walk a road with somebody? So avoid saying that. Instead of walking a road, sit down. Sit down with him, okay? In other words, take time to invest in a relationship by spending time, having a coffee. Yes, it might mean walking, it might mean running, but spend time. It might mean, if that person is hungry for the word, it might mean looking at some scripture together, but it means investing time and investing prayer into that relationship. And then in terms of, like I said, invitations are, there's a lot of stuff going on that are already opportunities for somebody that has already come a few steps closer for us to actually bring them even more close. So that means small group or outreach services or social events. The students are having these student evenings Friday, some Friday evenings. That's really cool. I haven't been to one, but I've heard it's really, really happening. Hey, guys? So yeah, that's great opportunities we have. Just even in the social context where we can invite somebody to come close. Okay. Okay, I need to close. Like I said, we can do some of this next year. Best method ever, as I said, is to pursue relationship and partnership with the Holy Spirit. And let's look at John 16 very briefly. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit as a helper. And you know what? The Christian walk, the Christian life that we know is not difficult. Okay? It's basically impossible if we do it on our own strength. And how much more when we're reaching out to others around us, if we do it on our own strength and our own mission, it's going to be a big mess. Okay, so the key number one is to pursue a relationship with the Holy Spirit, is to recognize that He is our helper. He is the one who comes alongside us. Greek says the parakletos, the one who comes alongside us to help us. And the Holy Spirit is the most important relationship you and I can really invest into, in terms of being salt and light, being partners with God and walking with Him. Okay, so even in this holiday, if that's going to be your prayer focus, that's a good place to start. Say, Lord, I want to grow in hearing your voice and discerning your will and really walking with you.
Okay.
And then finally, from just to close from John chapter 4, do you not say there are still 4 months, then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. Both he sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. And guys, when I look at us and our city, when I look at our communities we're living in, there's a great harvest out there, guys. There's an openness for the word. There's an openness for the gospel. Sometimes we fall under this thing that the enemy tries to sow. No, but it's so hard in the workplace. It's so difficult to share the word or to share testimony. There's so many obstacles, and we just think, oh, you know what? It's true. It's so hard. And when you look again, we don't do anything. And we become apathetic. But I want to encourage us, even around this time of festivities and stuff, engage with the heart of God. Sorry. Thanks, guys. Engage the heart of God. Whether your family goes big on Christmas or not. Some families go really big, eh? Adnan and I don't go so big with Christmas. But my family and Anna's family, they both go big. So we get forced to sing all kinds of hymns and stuff. Anybody that can play an instrument, when we're at my parents' house, anybody that can play an instrument or sort of play an instrument, we are obliged to. That's the German part of the family. So he has to play instruments. Yeah, I know, it's shocking, eh? But why I'm saying you this is because the stuff that we play and the hymns that we sing, even though most of the people there are not saved, have the most incredible message and the most incredible lyrics. And I want to really encourage you to, even over this time of Christmas where a lot of people, even people that aren't spiritual at all, let's trust for opportunities to bring Christ into Christmas, to trust God for opportunities to share His love, to pray for people, and to really see people's lives transformed. Amen. Okay, we're going to close, and we're going to have communion this evening. So if the ushers can start handing out the communion so long, I just want us to spend a bit of time praying as well. There was a number of years ago, also this time of year, in fact, this same time, the same week, first week in December, I came back from the UK having worked there for a while, and I came back to find that I'd heard about it, that my uncle gotten very ill very quickly, and I got in a car with my aunt and my mom, and we drove down to Cape Town to go and basically to go say goodbye, because he was very ill. At that point, he was already in a coma, and I wasn't saved very long. I was saved for a while, but I wasn't spiritual very long, and I remember wrestling through this thing of, okay, my uncle is busy dying. He's already in a coma. He can't speak anymore. He can hear. Kind of interacts still a bit, but he can't speak. And I knew my uncle, as great guy as he was not a believer. And I remember wrestling with God and really praying, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. I was the only person around there that was a really upfront believer. In fact, when we arrived there, my one cousin, and just in a big group of people, she actually said to the whole group of family there, she said, listen, whatever you do, don't speak to him, my uncle now, don't speak to him about God, because it will just upset him, because he doesn't believe at all. And so she said that before the big group, but I know she was talking to me. There was nobody else there that was going to talk to him about God. But and I remember wrestling with God about this, and I remember going out in the garden to pray, and actually completely being at my wit's end, knowing that he's literally dying. He can die any moment. And I really cried out to God. I said, Lord, what would you have me do? And I remember God giving me grace and giving me... I just felt that the Holy Spirit said, I must just wait and trust God for the right opportunity. And so what the challenge was... Thanks, guys. The challenge was that... as my uncle was already in a coma, we had people staying with him basically all the time. So there were at least two people with him at every time, at every moment, and which made it quite difficult to find an opportunity. And I remember my aunt and my cousin were with him at that stage in the afternoon, and my aunt had fallen asleep, so that was a blessing. And then my cousin was called to the phone. I actually called him and said, there's a phone, and then he went to the phone, and I realized, I felt the Holy Spirit, this is it. And and I remember just praying, and I said, Lord, I don't know what to say. But I remember sitting down next to him. I remember taking his hand, and he wasn't able to speak anymore, but I looked in his eyes, and I gripped, took his hand, and I said to him, I know this is not something that you believe, but this is what I believe. This is the truth. And I shared with him, very basic. And I remember the peace of God in that place. I remember the presence of the Holy Spirit there. And I said to him, I know you can't speak, but I'm going to pray now. And I ask that you would humble yourself and you would cry out to God in your heart. Because he will hear you even if you can't pronounce it, you know. And it was the most incredible thing, because he gripped my hand so tightly. And we prayed together. And basically just after we prayed, just with the peace of God, an incredible way there, in the presence of God there, just after we prayed, my cousin came back, and I was like, no. And I remember praying that evening, and I remember continuing to pray, but it was such a difficult thing, because although God had given this incredible opportunity, I don't know what happened in his heart. But I know that he had an opportunity, and I know that he was serious in that moment, and I know that God had gave him, by the grace of God, at the end of his life, gave him an opportunity to know God. I mean, the next morning he passed away. So what I want to say to you, that whatever challenging situation you find yourself, maybe this holiday time or with family or with loved ones, trust God for the right opportunity. Amen. Trust God to speak words of life. Trust God to pray with somebody or two. But trust God for that right time. Amen. Will you stand, please? As we're just going to celebrate the cross, I just trust that even as we celebrate the broken body and the blood of Jesus, that we're going to just bring the names of one or two people before God. But let's just close our eyes as we pray. Father, God, we thank you. Thank you that you are present here, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you know each one of us so intimately, Lord. Thank you that you know us, and you know our families, you know our colleagues, and you know the places that you have put us. And thank you, Lord, that this is not a random thing that happens, that we just end up by random fate, we just end up in random families and random workplaces. But thank you, Lord, that you plant us and you put us and you place us, you send us and you commission us very specifically, Lord, and very powerfully as your redemptive agents of your purpose and your plan and of your love and of your grace in every place that we put our feet, God. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you stir something in our hearts now, Lord, that even in the holiday time, even when we are resting and even when we are chilling out, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you would stir in us a passion for the lost, to stir in us a love for the people around us, Lord, a love for those that are dying and that are heading towards eternal death, God. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you would stir in us an urgency and to pray, Lord, an urgency to engage with people, an urgency, Holy Spirit, to engage with your heart, Lord, for those that you've put around us, our loved ones, but also those that you've put close to us, God. Stir our hearts. Move us with compassion, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. And as we remember the cross this evening, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you demonstrated your love. I thank you, Lord, that you did not go in half measures, but you paid the highest price. You gave your only son so that each one of us here, and each soul that ever existed, each one that even ever will ever exist, Lord, that you paid the highest price that we can have a relationship with you. While every eye is closed this evening, if you are here this evening and you do not have a relationship with God, you don't have an assurance of eternal life. Maybe you've heard a lot about God. Maybe you've been around church. But this evening, you know that you need to make right with Him. That there's something wrong. That you've been close to God in the past, but right now you're far from Him. And you know tonight the Holy Spirit is convicting you. You know something must change. That He's drawing you close. You know we are at now, it's not right with God. And you want to make right with Him. If that's you this evening, I just want to give you an opportunity to just surrender to God before we have communion together. So while every eye is closed, if you just want to acknowledge that to God, just by raising your hand, I'm not going to call you forward. But if you know you need to make right with God this evening, won't you raise your hand, acknowledge to God, Lord, I want to come back to you this evening. Is there anybody like that? Are your eyes closed? Thank you. Thank you. If you've raised your hands, you can drop them again. Father, thank you that you see every hand and every heart, Lord. And we thank you that you respond to every heart now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we declare, Lord, yes, that you are our Lord and our Savior, Father, that we choose to draw near to you again, Father. Even if we've been afar off, Lord, even if there's stuff that's come between us this evening now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that we can receive your forgiveness afresh, Lord. We receive a life that is in the blood of Jesus afresh, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you that again we can humble ourselves before you right now. We say, Lord, you are our King. You are our Savior. We surrender every part of who we are to you, Lord. As Lord and Savior, come and have your way in us. Come and be glorified in our lives and through our lives, God, in Jesus' name. So, Father, this evening we thank you for the body of Christ that was broken for us. We thank you, Lord, that through the broken body of Jesus, you've made provision on the cross, Lord. You've made provision for every disease, every sickness, and every need that we may experience, Lord. That the body of Christ was tortured and broken and destroyed so that we may have fullness of life, God. We celebrate that this evening. We thank you, Jesus, that you endured the cross, Lord. We thank you that you endured the torture and the pain so that we can have life, that we can have fullness of health, that we can have experience your fullness of provision in every single way, God. And as we take this bread as a symbol, Lord, of your broken body, we do this in remembrance of you, Lord, and we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Let's eat together. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that the blood speaks of your forgiveness of sin. Thank you for the redemption that is in the blood of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the new life that is in the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that your blood proclaims that each of us, as we are in Christ, we've been forgiven, we've been set free, Lord. Thank you that the blood speaks of deliverance. Thank you that we receive new life, God. And right now, as we take this juice, Lord, we thank you, Lord, as a symbol of your blood, that we do this in remembrance of you. And we proclaim over ourselves and over our city and over our nation that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient. It's sufficient for us. It's sufficient for our city. It is sufficient for our nation. We thank you, Jesus, for the blood that you shed, Lord. And we celebrate the blood. We thank you for the power that is in the blood of Jesus, God. And right now, we thank you for the power of your resurrection at work, Lord, in and through our lives, God. Let's drink together.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and his glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363. Email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.